This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Good morning and welcome to America's Web Radio. This is a very special edition with a very special friend and host. Michael Gonneau is calling in from Israel, and anyone in the United States or around the world for that matter that hasn't had their head buried in the sand the last few days realizes that our divider-in-chief, communist-in-chief, or whatever we got in the White House, whatever we're calling him today, drew a line in the sand, which I'm not sure he really had any right to do, but drew a line in the sand and said that if Syria used any of the gas to chemical warfare in Syria, that it would call for U.S. reaction. And now Obama has pulled out his two-sided coin or double-sided coin and is flipping it and flipping it with Jarrett, I'm sure, trying to decide what to do next. And he's really sort of, in my opinion, backed himself into a very difficult position. Has caused a lot of saber rattling from everybody from Russia to Iran to Syria, you name it. And what's interesting is they all say, well, if the U.S. does anything, we'll take it out on Israel. And so for that reason, we decided that we should, we have a wonderful, wonderful host, Michael Gonneau in Israel, and we talked to him yesterday and said, you know, is it to the point that we should start doing some special reports and get some truthful, and I want to underline, put in parentheses, capitalize the word truthful information and reporting from Israel, because our mainstream media is a very jaded, as we all know, very jaded media today. And so, with that being said, Michael, I've tooted our America's Web Radio horn. Glad to have you calling in from Israel.
Dave, it's good to be here with you guys. And, you know, God bless the patriot conservatives in the United States that are holding the fort down over there and fighting. I appreciate you guys. I love you. And I want to say thank you. If you look at my Facebook page, thank you, thank you. From the soldiers, I've spent all day with the special forces of the Army, Golani, and I gave them some Hershey's for Heroes, and they were elated. And, you know, it's the little things that count, and I want to say thank you to everyone who contributed to Hershey's for Heroes.
And it's continuing, and before we end the show today, I want to get the information on how they can anybody can send you a box of Hershey's, and I think the important part of that is the request that you say, put a little note in them, and it just personalizes it that much more and lets the folks, the military in Israel, know that there are people in the United States and or around the world that that really do care about them. Michael, I want to get directly into the show, and by the way, we're not going... we may take a break at the half hour. It all depends on how we're going. If I need a breath of air or another gin and tonic, or we'll take a break. If not, no, I'm just teasing about that. But anyway, I talked about our mainstream media and the fact that, you know, we know that Obama has put Israel under the bus. It's deplorable the way Obama has treated the Prime Minister, Benjamin Netanyahu, in the past. I have all the respect in the world for Netanyahu. I did question his last move on letting some of the prisoners out, but, you know, I'm not there. I'm not in charge, and nor did he call me and ask me my opinion. But I do want to know, what is Israeli mainstream media saying about what's going on in Syria and the threats and what the U.S. may do?
Well, let me start out by saying that Israel has the same problem that we have in the United States. They, too, have a left-stream, lamestream media, and they know it. And it's very unfortunate because when you look at this country that's under the microscope by the leftists, by rogue regimes, by Islam on a daily basis, every day since 1948, plus the persecution that's taken place since the time of Abraham, it's very pathetic that their media, like one media group called Haaretz, which you can find on the internet, slams their own people. It's disgusting, and these people know it. But the media overall is definitely putting out there that, you know, just like you've said, that's being said in the U.S. media, no matter what happens, this is not going to be good for Israel either way, simply because Muslims kill Muslims for power. You have Sunni and Shia, and then whatever happens, whoever wins, the Israelis have to deal with it. And that's what it comes down to. So, you know, the media is definitely saying that, you know, look, the ships are off the coast of, off in the Mediterranean, off the coast. They're looking at using Cyprus and even Greece bases to strike against Syria, along with cruise missiles from the battleships in the Mediterranean. So they're pretty much on target, and this is probably the one time I can say about Israelis is that even though they have the left and the right here, when it comes to defending their country, they're definitely in unity. So there's a unity in the media about this.
You know,
and they're saying either way, it's not going to end up good for Israel.
I can understand that. I just got an email that our planes have landed, or some of our planes have landed, warplanes have landed in Cyprus. So, you know, I personally, and there are a lot of us, it's not just me, but there are a lot of folks say, we don't have any business in Syria. We really didn't have any business in Egypt or in Libya, for that matter. But, you know, we've stuck our nose in other people's business at this point. What are the folks on the street in Israel saying about the stupidity? I'm sorry. What are they saying about the U.S. involvement?
Well, let me clarify that the Israeli people certainly distinguish between the citizens of the U.S. and the government of the U.S. as far as the administration goes. They don't like Obama. They don't trust him. I appreciate the revelation that they have, that the American people, part of them have and the other part don't. They know he's a Muslim. Islamic culture says when you are born to a Muslim father, you are a Muslim. And we know Obama's background. So that right there says a lot. But they understand that at the end of the day, that they have to depend upon themselves. And Israel's not. Look, I'll tell you what a lot of citizens have told me. I certainly wouldn't name names of soldiers and I spent a lot of time with the military, but I will tell you that they say, look, let them kill each other, because at the end of the day, we have to deal with them, and whichever side wins, they're going to end up fighting them at the end. So that's what the Israelis are saying. And they know, here's what's going to happen. If the U.S. strikes, the warnings have already been given by Iran, Russia, China. Okay, that's not counting Hezbollah in Lebanon. That's not counting the Syrian rebels who've already said they want him dead. Assad said that if the U.S. strikes, he's going to go after Israel. Well, that's pretty stupid. That guy was insane, because that'll only tip the scales for the rebels, because the Israelis will not tolerate being attacked. They just won't. And so the average person on the street is pretty much saying, you know what? We are going to defend ourselves. They're already handing out gas masks and on all the borders. The Gaza, the cities around the Gaza, which constantly receive missile attacks, they're preparing. The Iron Dome, they're doing it in Tel Aviv because they've threatened already to send rockets to Tel Aviv. And the rockets that can reach Tel Aviv can either come from Gaza or from Lebanon. So that's what that comes down to. So the Israeli people, look, they live with this every day. It's new to us. They live with it every day, that threat, so they're prepared.
Okay, in being prepared, I've never been to Israel. You're standing right there. You know what's happening as of the second. Is there a, you know, you were living here after 9/11, and we had our little red, yellow, and green thing on television about be prepared or whatever. Is the state of Israel at a higher level of preparedness or awareness or whatever at this moment?
Well, let me say this.
Or they're always there, I guess.
Always, always at a height. But let me, you know what's great about this country, Dave, that we miss out on, okay? These people, I can't say it enough, and I apologize if I'm sounding rhetorical, but it's a matter of emphasis. These people live with this every day. So, like, for example, in 2006, okay, during the second Lebanon War, where the media didn't tell the thousands of rockets that were coming from Lebanon, killing people, striking cities, and that's why Israel went in. The leftist media made it sound like it was some big invasion by the, you know, the evil Jewish people of Israel. You know, they're defending. That's why they call it the Israeli Defense Force. But they're always on the defense. But they still prosper this country. They still lead the way in agriculture, technology, and medicine. They lead the way. The United States doesn't, okay? And I love my country, but we've submitted to other forces. And that's just a fact. And everybody knows it that's a right wing that's got a good head on their shoulders. These people fight. The majority of them are right wing. And they believe in God. And they continue to do their work and make a way in the world and give to the world. So it's amazing. It's amazing to see these people, what they do. So it is amazing.
Michael, are you saying that, quote, unquote, even with the tension and the seriousness of the state that we seem to be in, is the Israelis are taking it basically one day at a time, but life goes on?
That's it. That's it. And they embrace it, too. I'm telling you, when I'm here on Shabbat, on their Sabbath, or I'm at a holiday, it's, you know, these people embrace life because it lives on their heels. And we don't face that in the United States. We don't face it.
Well, now here again, in my opinion, I think we probably are. We just don't know it yet.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Listen, David. They're surprised when I tell them, actually, this is a fact, and Americans better listen up. We have 32 Muslim training camps in the United States right now. You can go to Google or on YouTube and find where Fox News has exposed it, where Christians have exposed it. Turkey just paid $100 million. The governor of Maryland just dedicated a $100 million mosque. Compliments of Turkey. We better wake up.
It's beyond... Well, you said it. We better wake up, but it's hard to wake up the living dead, you know. Let me ask, are there any special preparations going on right now in Israel? You said on the borders they're handing out masks and so forth, but are they training or retraining the kids, the parents talking to their children now about what has to be done, and if you're at school, what has to be done, and so forth?
Yeah, I'll tell you, if you go to YouTube, you're going to find a video under my YouTube account called Terror Across the Town. I was in a town called Sderot, which is on the Gaza border, okay? These people live with rockets coming down all the time. Their children on the playground, it's called Bomb Shelter Capital of the World. Because the kids know exactly what to do. The schools train them. Actually, it goes on all over the country because these rockets are able to reach anywhere. So they have bomb shelters everywhere in this country. And especially in Sderot. When you watch the video, you're going to be, it's like unbelievable. Even on the playgrounds, there are bomb shelters for the kids to go into. And you have a matter of like a few seconds when the alarms go off. Again, because the Israelis live this way, they are always prepared. Their children know what's up. They're teaching them this because they have no choice. And the kids, listen, these kids, I just spent last weekend training with some of these kids that are 15 to 18 years old that know they want to go do special forces in the military. And at 15, they're training, ready to go to defend their country. They know they have to do it. It's amazing. It's amazing. So the kids know. The children know.
I just don't know that much about the Jewish religion. In Israel, I assume you have the Orthodox and then the, I don't want to say unorthodox, but you have the Orthodox Jews.
Religious.
You know, so How do they jump into Unifarm together or separately?
Well, I'll tell you this. First of all, as far as Judaism goes, you have Orthodox, which are the black and white. They call them in Hebrew, they call them Haredi. And then you have your religious, which wear the kippah. And I will tell you, a lot of them live in Judea and Samaria, or otherwise known as the Left Bank, which is Muslim-occupied land. They are the fighters. They live in those areas knowing that it's a danger to them, but they do it because that's their land. And then you have the seculars. You'll find a lot of those in Tel Aviv. But at the end of the day, they're all fighting for the Jewish state. You go in right after high school into the military. Boys and girls both go right in the military. Now, you do have, there's some people, especially the girls, that don't go in the military, but they do what they call national service, which means they go and they train or teach school to new immigrants coming into the country, or they represent Israel in other countries doing humanitarian work, which is amazing. Nobody here, they don't give room for anyone here to slack or not be involved. But if you do the military, once you finish, you do the reserves up until you're about 45, and which means for 2 months out of the year, broken down if you're an officer, and 1 month out of the year, broken down if you're a non-officer. You go and you do reserve work and keep your training up.
And I would assume if anything really happened, 45 to 110, you'd still take a weapon up.
Yeah. That's what I love about these people, because especially, okay, it's funny you say 100. There are people that fought, and if you look it up on the Internet, it's amazing. The Palmach and the Haganah, these were guys that fought pre-1948, when the Muslims were here, before Israel was a state, and they were killing Jews. If you look up the history, it's amazing. The Muslims have always killed the Jews here, and the Jews have always lived here. And they tried to get rid of them, just like the Nazis did. But you'll never get rid of the Jews. I want to guarantee you of that. You will never get rid of them. They're great people.
You know, you made a point, and this is my concern about us being in the Middle East, period. You know, if we have to, we have to. But, you know, the Muslims, that's all they know is fighting. They don't know building.
Yeah.
They don't know progress. They don't know doing it themselves. All they know is fighting, and that's biblical. That goes, you know, from the time they were born.
I guess with the Quran. It goes exactly with the Quran.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny you say that, Dave, because I'm glad you said that. I will tell you that I've been on the borders of this country all around, and when you stand on a mountain up in the Golan Heights and you look into Syria or you look into Jordan or you even are still in the north and look into Lebanon, there's nothing. It's a vast, you have villages scattered throughout, but these people contribute nothing to the betterment of themselves. And then you look on the Israeli side, and you see nothing but prosperity. You see lush farmland. This place was a desert, okay? Even the Muslims that lived here pre-48 did nothing. And the Jews have taken this, the Jewish people have taken this and turned it into it's amazing. You need to come here, Dave. We need to do a broadcast from Israel.
Well, you know, that's quite honestly, sort of in the works, as I mentioned to you before. Let's go back to where we are right now. The gas masks.
Okay.
You said they were handing them out. Does the government provide gas masks to all of their citizens, or is the citizen?
They certainly do.
Okay.
They most certainly. They take care of their people. They listen. I pointed this out the other day. On the American flag, you have 50 stars representing each state. On the Israeli flag, you got one. That's it. You only got one.
Mm-hmm.
And they take care of their people, I will say that.
And I assume
so
that's taken care of from birth until death, basically, with as far as protection and all that goes.
Absolutely. You know, look, I've had people email me and say, oh, they're socialist and blah, blah, blah. You know what? I'll tell you, first of all, this is a very small country. It's about half the size of Florida, okay? So, yeah, these people work hard and they give a lot, and it's a tough country. This is an expensive country. You know, let me say this up front, Dave. You know how much money I've made? I'm poverty level in the United States. I have probably, I have lived off so far, and we're about through the year, I've lived off about $10,000. $10,000. And this is an expensive country, and I thank God for that. I'm not complaining. But I will tell you, things are expensive here, but these people stick together. Now, you do have poor, you got poor people here, but everybody's covered under health care, and it's only because it's a small country that we cannot afford to do this in the United States. This is a different scenario here. But yes, they do take care of their people and provide gas masks for them. I don't mean to get off on that tangent, but no, I just want to emphasize this is a tough country to live in.
Okay, now let me ask, with the gas mask, I know when we were, you know, back in the day, military day and so forth, when we were on alert or whatever, you would wear your wear it. It would be strapped around your waist where you could get to it. Are the Israelis at that point today? Have they been advised to start carrying them when they go to work and so forth?
I cannot answer that question, but I will tell you. That is a question I can't answer, but I will tell you this. They're giving them out. The Israelis in the north, especially, who are susceptible they're susceptible to the threat more so. They are prepared. They all have gas masks. In fact, there's a bit of a shortage. I don't know to what degree, and I apologize that I don't have a direct answer for that question. But they are prepared in various ways, such as gas masks, the Iron Dome, and everything.
Response. Obviously, I know the response if a missile comes in towards Israel. But if the U.S. does do something, are the Israelis going to take basically a defensive position? Or what do you think the government reaction will be? Will they take an offensive view saying, well, Iran and China and Russia have said they are going to do something, so we're going to do it first? Or do you think they'll sit back? And take a position sort of like they have with Egypt.
Yeah, I can tell you this. Now, I will answer that question by looking at their past, okay? If the Israelis know that someone is gearing up to come after them, if they see it and their intelligence shows it, they're going to strike first. What they will do in this scenario, I don't know, but I will tell you that they already know there's a threat there. I don't work in intelligence. Those guys know far more than I do. I just know what I get from the media and from talking to people, boots on the ground. But I will say this. Number one, the minute that the United States strikes Syria, I can guarantee there's going to be rockets. Because Islam, even though the Muslims in the Gaza, the Muslims in Judea and Samaria, and the Muslims that have more freedoms than the Jewish people inside the Jewish state that are citizens, there's going to be some rioting, and there's going to be some rockets. That's a guarantee. And Israel is postured to defend themselves. And trust me, they've got troops all over this country. They ride the bus. They ride the train. They've got them well-stocked and supplied, and they're ready for anything. I will guarantee it. But there is going to be retaliation. They're going to use it, even if they're not directly involved with Syria. Islam is all tied together, Sunni or Shia, and they will strike against the Jews and use it as a reason.
You know, this strikes me as they can't get along with themselves, but let's attack Israel. You know, it's just, and what has Israel done? Nothing.
Nothing. It comes down to this, Dave. This is not about land, brother. This is about ideology. Mm-hmm. Islam, the Quran, the Hadith, the Sirah, they all say the Jews need to be gone from here. Okay? As long as there are Jews that exist in Israel, in the Middle East, then Islam is always going to be a threat to them.
Hey, it's amazing. With this being said, and we've talked about the borders and Israel's, of course, in my opinion, and correct me if I'm wrong, but Israel technologically is so far advanced of anything else that surrounds it. Is that a fair statement?
You know, listen, that is more than a fair statement. Let me say this. Let me add to that, though. I challenge anyone to look at the history of this country. Do you know, in the War of Independence, after Israel was established as a state, do you know where they got their equipment? They got ragtag junk from the Czechoslovakians, okay? Not from the United States, to defend their country. These guys were outmanned, outarmed, outgunned, and they still kicked the Muslims' butts, even though you had like four different countries coming against you. So they have taken, it's amazing if you study their history, especially since 48, study the military. They take things that are junk, okay? They take American junk. And I say that respectfully. I love our military, but we're under a bad commander-in-chief who's killing us. But they take even advanced military equipment from the United States, and they advance it even more. They're the largest seller of drones now, okay? It's unbelievable.
Just back up the truck and pick up a few drones, huh?
Exactly. It's amazing.
Okay, this sort of segues into another question that I wanted to ask. If something were to start up, and I've had people, in fact, I had a military person telling me that, whether we really send rockets in, or we send drones in, or we send in our Air Force, which I would hate personally to see, but do you think that if this starts, and it's the spark that starts, and they come after Israel, is there any chance that they will try to do anything on the ground, or do you think they'll do their cowardly approach like they generally do and send rockets from Hamas or even from Iran Libya or some other, or even Egypt?
I'll tell you this. The mindset of the Islamic ideology, they'll blow themselves up and sacrifice. But you're right. They'll do the cowardly thing. They don't need to send in boots on the ground. They'll send enough rockets in. And right now, Hezbollah, they've got thousands. They've got tens of thousands of rockets. They're going to shoot rockets first. They'll save the guys for later. But they'll do rockets first. There's going to be, listen, if they can get away with it, but security here is so tight. Listen, unless you're on the border, and how do I say this? This country's very secure. They'll put this place on lockdown, and your butt won't be able to squeak without them knowing it, okay? I should probably say your shoe, excuse me. But still, there's always people that slip through, and there's always a rocket that gets by. Nothing is 100%. But, yeah, they'll mainly use rockets. They'll start off with that because, you know, that's going to put the biggest fear or try to bring the biggest fear to the Israeli people and create the most chaos. Because, the reason why they use these small rockets is because many times they're undetectable on radar. And they shoot them at random. They don't have the ability to – they're not guided, okay? They're just rockets they can shoot at random. Now, I will tell you this. In Benghazi, there were, I think, 800, if I'm not mistaken in my reading, there were 800 rocket launchers stolen in Benghazi. I think it was 800. I need to find the exact number, but anyone with half the intelligence listening to the show will go find it. Themselves.
Benghazi was 400, as a matter of fact. Yeah,
400. Yeah. Okay. Beth.
We're going to need to stop here and take our half hour break. I want to take this opportunity to mention the fact that Michael has agreed that we're going to continue to do these as we feel, and it'll be strictly up to Michael to tell me when we need to do them. But we will do special editions of Insight to Israel live and direct, as we say, with Michael Gonneau, and as we need it. I also want to take this opportunity, and it's a very interesting situation here at the station, in that we have had some people come in and wanting to support us with these programs. They don't want to be identified at this point because of retribution. It is something I have never seen in the United States. I've never experienced it with the station, but they appreciate what Michael's doing. They appreciate what we're doing, but they want their anonymity. So that we give them. With that being said, though, there are others that are fighting the divider-in-chief, the communist-in-chief, whatever you want to call him, and our lame duck Congress, such as the USJF. We're going to hear from them, and then a couple other quick messages, and we'll be back with Michael Gonneau from Israel right after this.
Watchdog is a term given an organization like the United States Justice Foundation, which since 1979 has been watching out and, when necessary, taking the appropriate action, from testifying to litigating to protect our constitutional rights. USJF, a nonprofit organization, is nationally recognized not only as a watchdog, but many in the government, as well as those involved in legal cases, have also called the USJF a bulldog for the tenacious approach in their presentation and proof of what is right. Find out more at www.usjf.net. Support USJF as they support you.
Did you miss a show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on AmericasWebRadio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on AmericasWebRadio.com anytime you like. You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
Okay, we're back with a special edition on America's Web Radio. We've got the Right Honorable Mr. Michael Gonneau. I don't know what any of that meant other than, Michael, you have literally turned into a lot of folks, and mine included, me included, our hero for doing what you're doing. Michael is a Christian. He is a gentleman, and he had a calling to go to Israel. And unlike many of us that barely put our pants on the morning and can't do a good job of that necessarily, Michael has done what he wanted to do, and he is doing a fantastic job for Israel, for the America's Web Radio, and waking some of the American Jews up to the fate of Israel and the need for America's support. Our administration has put Israel under the bus, which is well, we have a Muslim for a president, so what do you expect? But Michael, I want to congratulate you and thank you for the incredible job that you do and the context. I was looking at your Facebook page today. And I tell you what, I told my oldest son as soon as he could understand, I said, Michael, you know, my Michael, you have a $1 million smile. It must just come with the name or something. I look at your Facebook page, you're happy, the folks around you are smiling, and your smile must have gotten you into places that no one else could get. I can't believe the sources of information, the people that you've interviewed, and the interviews that you've got coming up. And you are our best ambassador. Kerry should stay away. you should be made the head of the State Department for Israel.
You know what? I appreciate that, David. Let me say that. You know, I want to say thank you to the Jewish people. Because we have lost, you know, I get tired of the folks debating on what our founding, look, our founding fathers may have disagreed somewhat doctrinally on the Bible, but I'm going to tell you, at the end of the day, if it were not for God giving the Old Testament, Torah, the first five books of the Bible to the Jewish people, we would not have a Constitution or Bill of Rights. Now, that's a fact. It's all over our documents, okay? And David, I owe not just my grandparents for fighting in World War II, my founding fathers for fighting the Revolutionary War, but I owe the Jewish people for my freedom externally and God for my freedom internally. And if they have to fight for their lives every day, I owe it to them to stand with them. And I'm happy. I am. I'll tell you, after working in politics and seeing the cesspool in Washington, D.C. for years, I'm proud to stand with these people. I love them. Good and bad. Some people accuse me of, you saying Israel's perfect. There's no perfect place. That's reality. But, you know, there's a unity here in this country. And every day, I can't tell you, David, every day, there are some days I wake up and I say, God, why am I here? I'm still haven't had the time to take an old-paying class to learn the language. I work 17, 18 hours a day. I get one day off. But you know what? When I get on the bus, and I don't even drive, I ride the bus everywhere. But when I get on a bus and I see these people, I say, you know what? This is why I'm here. I love them. I love them. And I appreciate the smile. I got a few crooked teeth.
Well, that's the only thing that's crooked about you.
Well, I try to keep it straight. Listen, I'm not a perfect man, but I'll tell you. You know, Solomon said in the book of Proverbs, he said, if a man wants friends, he must show himself friendly. And I'll tell you know what? When you do that and you get yourself surrounded by the right people, quality, character, integrity, principle, it helps keep you in line, and I'm thankful for that.
Well, we're very thankful that we've become friends. And Michael, when he said that he works 17, 18 hours a day, there are times that I think it must be 20 or 24 hours a day, because I'll email him and not expecting a response, because y'all are, 6 hours or 7 hours ahead of us?
7 hours difference.
Okay. And I, you know, I'll email and I get a response, and I'm thinking, my God, you should have been asleep for the last 4 or 5 hours. But anyway, let's get back to what's going on over there. How are folks taking to this? And when I say this do they, in the U.S., more and more folks are not supporting our administration or Congress, for that matter. But how are the folks taking to Netanyahu? I know they were disgruntled with his release of some of the Hamas, I guess it was Hamas, recently. And I guess I have no right to question it, but it's sort of like us releasing or giving up some of our weapons on Russia's promise, giving up the people in Guantanamo that have come back to kill our forces in Afghanistan. I can't really understand the theory behind giving up any of the prisoners, because Israel gives them up and gets nothing back for it, or they'll give up 150 prisoners and get back one Israeli.
Yeah. Well, look, I did a video, it's on YouTube, about some people that were protesting at Bibi Netanyahu's government house. I'm when I go to the border, there's some factors that are going to determine that, but I'm going to go. But there's a big protest tomorrow night. These people are ticked off about it, I will tell you. They're all about peace, and they want to live in peace. But it's disgusting what this administration is putting their hands on the table with the knife, ready to cut them off. Because I don't know why released prisoners, I have no clue. I don't think there's any deal in the world that will justify it. That's my opinion. I would not want to be in Bibi Netanyahu's shoes. The majority of this country is right wing. Thank God. I don't get it. And there's some people that are ticked off about it, especially family members who've lost loved ones. I don't get it. Because I'll tell you, let's look back in the 1990s under Bill Clinton. And Bill Clinton was a disgrace as commander-in-chief. I hope there are left-wingers listening to this. He was a disgrace, okay? He brought Israel to the table. They signed the Oslo Peace Accords. You know what Israel got in return? Dead bodies, okay? These people do not want peace. Islam does not want peace. They lie. You can see it all over the media, all over YouTube. You can Google it in. Abbas, who's the head of the Palestinian Authority, says it. He says it openly. He doesn't want any Jews living here. So I don't get it. I wouldn't want to be in the guy's shoes because he's not really liked right now. But they love him otherwise. But this is what they have to deal with. So they deal with it.
You know,
do they like it? No.
Yeah, this surprises me because you say, in my opinion, Netanyahu was very right wing, or seemed to be, over the years. I tell you, this old age thing, you don't want to get old. It really messes up your head and memory and all this kind of stuff. Who was the commander of the 67 war, that wore the patch, the eye patch?
Oh, yeah, you're talking about, you asked me too quick.
Well, at least you're young and can't remember. I'm old and I can't remember.
He took back the Western Wall.
Yeah.
Okay. For Israel. And, he actually, as much as they love him for doing that, he kind of, like, some of the right-wing Jews don't like him that well, the Israelis, because he should have basically not given the keys to the Muslims to actually have part of Israel, or as far as Jerusalem goes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think of his name, and I apologize. Wow, because
I'm in the same boat. But I always consider him, take no enemies type approach, and that was the way that I envision Netanyahu. Was that, I'll take it. That's it. I've had it. I'm not taking any more. And I was amazed or very surprised, and I assume you'd back me up on this. His giving away or returning the 150 prisoners or whatever it was has done absolutely no good.
It won't. It'll bring more killing. You know what, Dave? Let me say this. I had a friend of mine that works in intelligence. He's not in the military. And all I know is he works in intelligence. He's not going to tell me more than that. But he called me about 2 months ago. And he said, Michael, thank you for making me proud to be a Jew and a Zionist again. We've been so beat down by the media. We've been so beat down. These people, I'm telling you, when I handed out those candy bars, they will tell you nobody likes us. And it has nothing to do with anything that Israel's done. It has to do with the fact that they're Jews, period. They're Jewish people. And that's what it comes down to. The hatred, when they give everything, humanitarian aid, it's unbelievable what they do. And that's what it comes down to. And I'm going to tell you, the Jews believe in preserving life, okay? But you know what we need right now in Israel? We need some Davids who looked at the giant, who asked his brothers, who is this uncircumcised Philistine giant that challenges the armies of the Lord? Okay? You have to kill to do away with wickedness, period. Because otherwise, wickedness is going to come back. And while I respect and love, and I love these people, I bleed for them, okay? There is a little bit of a mindset that I try to tell them, you know what, you need to lose that. We want to preserve life. We don't want to kill people. Of course you don't. And I respect that. But you better know, they're coming for your throat. And the only way to deal with that is to take them out, period. And that's what we need. We need some Davids. Because the spirit of the Jewish people has been beat down. Not their soul, but their spirit has been beat down. It's about time we revive that as Americans. Help them revive that.
Right.
But otherwise, listen, I got no complaints about these people. I love them. They're ready to fight and defend their country.
It's a very interesting statement. Our horizon, in my opinion, is quite bleak from the right side of the fence, from the standpoint that I don't see any leader in the United States at the moment that's really ready and capable of taking the reins and doing something. Netanyahu, they have a different form of democracy. He could be called, I guess, up on the carpet basically any time and a new government formed. Who is there anyone there that comes forth politically as a leader and ready to take the reins of Israel?
You know what? And I want to challenge all your listeners. look, do some research on this country. You'd be amazed what these people do, how great they are, and I love them. You got one guy that I love, Neftali Bennett. This guy is like, now look, the guy's not perfect to what I agree with all of us. Look, I don't get involved in the domestic stuff. The Israelis can handle that themselves. But if they don't have a country, if they're always threatened, there's no domestic issues to fix, okay, to remedy if they don't have a country. And Neftali Bennett and Danny Danon, both these guys are guys that stand out to me, that are both leaders in their country, and both stand. They don't believe in a two-state solution, and neither do I. I am against it because the Muslims have had since 1948 to create their own state, and they refuse to every time because they want it all. And that's a fact. And anyone listening that wants to challenge me on that fact, please send me an email, because you know nothing about this country or Islam to boot. So Danny Danon and Neftali Bennett got to be my two favorite heroes in this country right now. And they are great leaders. Not perfect, but great.
Well, you know, none of us are perfect. But, yeah, you made a statement, and I meant to ask at this intervene or ask the question right after you made the statement. Being that Muslims hate the Jews, period, end of statement. They want them gone, they want them dead, they want them gone, they period, and so forth. Let me ask, is a portion of that hatred horrendous jealousy?
No.
It's just hatred.
Let me say this. I want to clarify something. Number one, okay, there are three kinds of Muslims. There's the kind that want to get out, but Islam will kill them if they do, if you convert to something else like Christianity. I've met Muslims that have converted to Christianity since I've been here. Their family doesn't even know, okay? They don't know. If a Muslim that is an Israeli citizen that has all the rights as the Israelis, as the Jewish people, that have representation in the Knesset, that serve on their courts, that play on their sports teams, if a Muslim sells a house to a Jew or an apartment, if the Muslims find out, he's dead. They're going to kill him, okay? And these are citizens of this country. You can also find another video where they are protesting in Israel. They're citizens of Israel and protesting against the Jewish people who give them the freedoms that they wouldn't have otherwise. Now, is every Muslim mean and hateful? No, okay? They're not. But let me clarify. The ones that are quiet are complicit with the ones that pull the trigger and detonate the bomb. The excuse that they'll be killed is an excuse. That's all it is. You know what? What about my founding fathers who stood up against King George? 13% of the original colonists wanted the revolution, and they fought anyway. If you believe in truth enough, nothing will keep your mouth shut. Nothing, not even death, will cause you. If you stand for principle and what's right, there's nothing that will keep you from standing up. So, you know, I speak as an American who's never been persecuted before, but I know that we're headed that direction as Christians especially. So, you know what? At the end of the day, I don't have time to worry about the few Muslims who are, quote, innocent, okay? I know what I see globally, and they leave a blood trail of oppression and murder behind in their wake. So I'm not worried about the few that I might offend their feelings, because I ain't got time for feelings, brother. Because there are lives on the line. There are lives on the line here. And we have to speak the truth to that.
You know, Michael, with that being said, I want to take just a moment. They can find you on Facebook. It's Michael Ganot. And you make a terrible mistake. I'm going to chastise you for this. You say, look me up on Facebook, Michael Ganot. Well, you never spell Michael, and everybody knows Michael, but they don't know necessarily G-A-N-O-E. You need to start telling people how to spell your last name so they can more easily look you up on Facebook.
Thank you. I will.
I want to advise everyone. They can contact me, David, at americaswebradio.com. If you've got questions that I can pass on to Michael, you can message him if you go on Facebook. I'm sure that's a good way to do it. I don't think you necessarily want to give out your email address at the moment.
No, I don't mind.
You don't mind? Okay, well, give it out. Give her out.
It's It's Michael A. Ganoe, G-A-N-O-E, at gmail.com. And let me throw this in, if I can throw two things in real quick.
Absolutely.
If you have any questions about Hershey's for Heroes, send me an email on Facebook or to my email address. I don't hardly use my work email. I just don't. And Gmail is where everybody goes. Let me say this. I don't do a lot of fundraising just because I don't think about it. And the reason is because I work so much. This message has to get out. But if you would like to partner with me in the work here in Israel, please send me an email. I'll send you, or you can go to the Merkel, M-E-R-C-L.org website. Make a donation towards the work here in Israel. Email me, because I have to email Merkel, Middle East Research Center Limited, and clarify this person sent this amount of money so that they can go in and look for it and make sure that those funds go to me. Look, I don't ask for a lot. I don't live on a lot, but I get a lot done, and I'm glad for that. So thank you for all those that support me, my small donor base. And don't forget Hershey's for Heroes.
Okay, now I want to cover two things that I have found totally fascinating. Before we get to Hershey's for Heroes, explain what a lone soldier is.
Okay. Yeah, lone soldier is, they are fascinating. I love them. In fact, I'm working on a video now that inducts lone soldiers into the Israeli Defense Force. A lone soldier is a male or female that are Jewish, that leave their home countries all over the world, that come to Israel to fight in the military to defend the Jewish state. And they have no immediate family.
Did I just lose you? Somehow we got cut off and have lost Michael. And I'm not sure what happened other than we could have had in this world and crazy thing. Here he is, I bet, calling back. Let's see if this is him. Michael, is that you? Okay, hang on. Let me transfer you in again. Okay, we're very fortunate, and Michael did realize that he had been cut off. I don't know if that was NSA or
who. I didn't keep talking.
Yeah, you knew it when it happened, huh? So anyway,
yeah,
we're talking about the lone.
Thank God for technology.
Oh yeah, we're talking about the lone soldiers, and they're the kids. I guess any age, really. Is there a limit on how old?
Well, of course, their age usually ranges between 17 and 18, usually to 26. 26 is the pretty extreme. These are guys that really want to get in, and they fight hard to do it, guys and girls. So it's in that age range, and they leave their family. The great thing is there is a lot of support in this country for the lone soldiers. They set up programs for them. They give them adoptive families so they have some place to go for Shabbat, because usually the military leaves the base on Thursday afternoon or Thursday evening to go home for Shabbat. And they're usually set up with a family or with a lone soldier organization to spend Shabbat. And it's a fascinating program. And a lot of these are Americans. And I'll tell you, I have a deep respect for these young people that come here with no obligation, and they come and serve. It's amazing.
Okay, with that, let's go into Hershey's for Heroes.
Okay.
And tell us, who had the, was this totally your idea?
It was. You know, look, I know things are tough in the United States, and I will tell you, let me say this, okay? I don't want to, I'm critiquing, not criticizing, so I don't want to be taken the wrong way. I see a lot of organizations here from the States. They have grand edifices. They probably have millions of dollars in staff and paperwork and blah, blah. You know, I'm just one guy here. Okay, and I'm thankful for that. I don't have to pay a staff. I don't care if I have to work 17, 18, 19 hours a day, as long as I get one day off and 2 hours of workout at least 3 or 4 nights a week.
And who is that that gives you that day off? We want to talk to them.
That's the Lord's day. You ought to talk to him.
Okay.
So, Hershey, I thought, what way can Americans send a message to the Israeli soldiers without having to spend a bunch of money? Like I said, I don't do a lot of fundraising, but I thought, you know what? let's get people involved. Put a little effort in. So Americans, I put out this thing, and it's on Facebook. It's an event on Facebook. It's ongoing. So I said, let's get Americans involved. So people are sending. Get your church, your synagogue, your community, your civic center, whatever, your family. Sit down. Go online. Purchase some chocolate bars. It's like 32 chocolate bars for $17. They're kosher, okay? Purchase these Hershey's chocolate bars, just the chocolate bars, not the nuts, just the plain chocolate bars, okay? Get a box of those in. Get your family around the table. Put a note on each one of these to a soldier specifically with your name and the state you're from, and mail them to me. The shipping's like, if it ships at the USPS, put candy on the label, not chocolate bars, put candy on the shipping label. It's $60 to ship. $18 for the box of chocolate bars that you order online, okay? You don't spend that much money. You get several people involved. It's like $10 a piece. And it you would not believe what it says to these soldiers. They're grateful. I just did a video of the soldiers, the Galani, the special forces that say thank you for Hershey's for Heroes. They loved it. So it touches. It makes them realize Americans at the grassroots level, and that's where it's at, are thinking about them.
That's fantastic. Michael, we're coming towards the end of the show. We got about 30 seconds. We invite anybody to email. Go to Michael's Facebook. It's Michael. And how do you spell your last name?
Ganoe.
All right. So, and that's your Facebook page, Michael Ganoe. I think you'll find it interesting. Michael, break at 30 after, we talked about doing this more or continuing to do it as the truth needs to be told from Israel. My blessings to you. Thank you so much for being a part of America's Web Radio and the contribution you're making to us, but also and mainly to the state of Israel.
Thank you, Dave. I love you guys. Appreciate you having me.
We'll talk to you more. Stay tuned for more on America's Web Radio after this.
Did you miss a show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on americaswebradio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on americaswebradio.com anytime you like.
This is Dr. Elena George with your health tip of the day. Did you know that dizziness may be a sign of heart disease, iron deficiency, high or low blood pressure, low blood sugar, or an inner ear infection? Dizziness can take the form of a spinning sensation, also known as vertigo, or a feeling of lightheadedness. The individual can also feel faint or have a rapid heartbeat. If you take high blood pressure medication, remember to take the medication daily as directed to control your blood pressure. Diabetics must remember to eat after taking their medication and to eat at regular intervals. If you have anemia, make sure to take a multivitamin that contains iron and to eat vegetables such as spinach. Dizziness after a cold or flu may be due to a virus. If you have dizziness, it is important to see your doctor for a complete physical examination. Please join me Wednesdays at 9 a.m. for Medicine on Call. This is Dr. Elena George.
Hi, everybody. It's Don Zabkar, your host for Who Knew? We air Mondays 2 to 3 on America's Web Radio, and then occasionally throughout the week. We've got some great subjects. This administration or this regime, as you know, is providing us with great material. So stay tuned. Check us out. America's Web Radio. It's Who Knew? With Don Zabkar.
This is Michael Ganoe with Insight to Israel. Every day, the Israeli Defense Force finds itself on the front line of the war with the militant arm of Islam. Surrounded by enemies from within and without, they fight for the only Jewish state. Military service is mandatory, ladies serving 2 years and men serving 3 right out of high school. While young people in other democracies are busy traveling or attending university, Israeli men and women gear up for basic training. In a world of heads of state, politicians, ambassadors, diplomats, and a leftist media, many times our voice at the grassroots level is drowned out. So we started an ongoing project called Hershey's for Heroes. Patriot conservatives from all over the U.S. are sending Hershey's chocolate bars with a note of thanks for defending Israel. Won't you join us by sending a sweet message to the IDF? For information, please see my Facebook page at Michael Ganoe. Thank you, God bless Patriot Conservatives, and God bless Israel in her struggle for sovereignty and security.
With all the back and forth in today's politics, it seems